Welcome back to Songs That Send Us. It's your co-hosts Annie and Shaden. Today we're talking about a Shaden song pick. We will be talking about Glory and Gore by Lorde.
Our Lord and Savior.
I'd like to dedicate today's episode to our Apple user listeners. Really for no reason, I just was thinking about how we always call Spotify out, and I feel like we should dedicate this episode specifically to the Apple listeners. Thank you.
We're such Apple, or not Apple, Spotify or bust people. I actually converted my sister to Spotify the other day from Apple.
Yes. Apple users, I will love you more if you switch to Spotify, but I still love you, and today's episode is dedicated to you.
You matter in our hearts.
Please give us 5-star ratings also in the thing while I'm dedicating this episode to you. Oh, but here we are, mid-June.
Here we are.
Summer is upon us, and there's been some new releases this week.
Indeed. Oh my gosh, indeed. I will say, though, it does not feel like today's my last day in SF. And Carl, little fun fact, Carl is the name of the fog here, and he's been out and about. They've been doing their fog horns all day today and yesterday, so It feels very apocalyptic.
Well, that's perfect then for today's listening.
It is indeed. I will say, I don't think it's a coincidence that Lorde dropped a new song after years, I think it was the day after we did our recording of this and decided we were going to do Lorde this week. So, Solar Power is her new release. It is.
And she dedicated that release to us because she said, I know Songs That Send Us is going to do an episode on me next week, and it's time for me to release a new song, I think, because of them.
You're not wrong. We basically summoned this song into existence. We're going to take full credit.
Yeah. It's a... I like it.
I do too. So I was talking to my friend Lorraine, who's a big Lorde fan, and she was going on about how, oh my gosh, I feel so fed after all these years, blah, blah, blah. I like it, but I don't love it. But it's just nice to hear her voice again.
Yeah, I'm excited she's creating new music. I'm excited to see what else she's creating. It was a good song. Mm-hmm. I wasn't blown away by it, but I also was never the true Lorde fan. I like Lorde's music, don't get me wrong. There's plenty of her songs I've listened to a bunch, but I wouldn't say I was someone who's obsessed with her and everything she did. You know, like when you follow someone so closely that every time they put new stuff out, you're paying attention to something.
Well, I was getting bothered that she does not update her Instagram or Twitter, so you have to find out via her newsletter anything about her, I feel like.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right, so you subscribe to her newsletter?
I have to, but honestly, my friend Lorraine, she keeps me updated on everything Lorde-esque.
See, that's the best thing, is when you have a friend who's into something so they can just be your pulse point for it, and you can just be like, give me the deets. Now I care.
That's exactly it. It's funny, she texted me, Lorde, she tried to call me, I was at the dentist here, and called me, and she's like, oh my god, Shaden, new Lorde, go, it's out, blah, blah, blah. And I think that's going to be the reaction. The world's going to stop when her album drops. I don't think there's a date yet that it's dropping, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
But
I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's gonna be a great one. We are all starved for her. It's funny, there was a tweet that she sent me. Let me pull it up. It's quite funny. It's about her album coming out, and it's called Solar Power, which is a fun album name.
Oh.
For everyone out there, we can post it when we do this episode, but it's my personality entirely based off of Melodrama for the past 4 years, and it's the cover of Melodrama, and then Lorde's New Era, and it's a gun holding the gun up to the other one. We'll just have to post this because I'm doing a bad description. But she's just been releasing a good single to change everyone's week out this past week. I know that one of my bops for this past week was Black Sheep, but it's originally by Metric, but what's her name? Brie Larson. In the movie Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, she had done...
Oh! Yes. I know what you're talking about.
Yes! It's so good. It's a nice different spin to Metrics, I think. But it's so fun.
That is fun. Yeah, I know people were posting about it being released. Mm-hmm. That song being
released. Have you not listened then?
I don't think so, actually. But that's exciting!
So it just feels like it's a throwback to... Because that movie's maybe 10 years old or something by now. But that's a really just kind of gets you hyped song, but not hyped to go out party, just hyped to get your blood flowing. I need to go do something. But
true.
That was a new, we're going to count that as a new release. The band Han dropped another song.
featuring Pink Sweats.
Yes.
Which is another group you like. So yes. I was going to ask if you listened to that song, what you thought of it.
I really liked it. I feel like I barely heard Pink Sweats in that song, but it was still a good one. Really enjoyed that. And then Akilo dropped a song too, and I really like them. This is like another one of those classic British bands that just kill the game.
Yeah. Flora Cash, new song as well.
I didn't like that one. Did you like that one? No. Yeah, I didn't.
It was fine. It was easy listen. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't listen to it. I was like, holy shit. It was just whatever. It was
good. I feel like I just have high expectations for that band anytime they drop anything.
Yeah. We didn't talk about Lucy Dacus' Brando.
Oh, yeah. Well, I heard
liked
that
one a lot.
I didn't have many thoughts on that one.
Yeah, I thought it was fun. It was nice.
I feel like you can't use the word fun to describe her music, though.
But it was kind of fun. It's got a little bit of a good beat. It's having a time.
She does some good songs, so I support everything she does, basically. I'm assuming she's also dropping an album probably soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I understand her to be. That's what I know.
But then, other than those songs that I've been replaying, all these new releases, I'd say the song that I put on our playlist, Plucky, by this artist. She's a small artist, Morley, Morly, but she has the most beautiful voice, and Plucky.
Yeah, I listened to that song because you were talking about it last week, and it's good. I really like it. It's got cool production on it. It's a little different, but yeah, her voice is really good.
Yeah. It's nothing, I don't know, super out there exciting, but I like it. I like those simple songs that you can kind of just have playing while doing whatever, and that's that. And then, of course, I've had to listen to some Lorde in preparation
for this. Yeah. No, Melodrama is such an iconic album. It's just...
Okay, would you say, and we can get into this a little more, but would you say Melodrama over Pure Heroine?
Yes.
Interesting.
Would you say the opposite?
I think I would say the opposite.
Here we go. Star-crossed lovers.
Classic us. But before we get too much into that, tell me your bops for the week. Have you been listening to these newer songs that we just talked about?
Yeah. Most of the stuff you're mentioning, I've been listening to. I've been trying to keep up with some of these new releases. I'd also say Claro came out with a new song. Did you listen to that one? I mean, it was another one where I was like, it's nice. I like it. Mm. I'm not obsessed with it or anything. But actually, mostly what I've been listening to this week is the song from Bo Burnham's Inside comedy special, because they were released on Spotify. So I've been listening to them this weekend.
Are they parody songs? Is that what he does?
You haven't watched it yet, Shannon?
I haven't. I know.
Okay, well, for everyone listening, you should watch Inside by Bo Burnham on Netflix. It's a comedy special that he filmed, directed, edited, lit, all by himself in his own home over and during quarantine. And it's a comedy special, but it's also just a, I don't know, like a beautiful film. It's weird to say, but it is. Yeah, no, he has a bunch of kind of comedy songs, almost, I guess. Except for sometimes they're not. It's a lot of it's commentary on social media and our interactions with social media and fame and things like that. The current climate. So it's good. I would definitely recommend listening, but it's wild because it's technically this was a comedy special, but this music, he's such a good songwriter. His music's really good, actually. I could almost just listen to it, which I obviously do, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's all from me. I guess we should segue into Glory and Gore.
This song was off of her album, Pure Heroine, and I think we can, I know the last episode we were unsure if she was pure heroine as in the drug or the hero, female hero. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure it's the female hero.
Yeah, because there's an E on the end of it. Heroine wouldn't have the E.
I don't think we thought of that last episode, but this whole album to me is very, it's got elements of darkness throughout it, and I think a lot of the songs are kind of interconnected theme-wise. Mm-hmm. But interestingly to me, this Glory and Gore I don't even think would be a lot of people's top five. And I think that's the beauty of Lorde. We could have literally chosen any of her songs. I don't think there's a song either of us actively dislike from her.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing that pops into my head that I could think of.
Which for me is not a situation with a lot of artists, so really cool. But yeah, her album Pure Heroine was her first album, and it came out in 2013. And I think when I first heard this song, I was like, whoa, I'm thinking automatically of The Hunger Games, which is so funny to me because she said that she was inspired, or she is inspired by Katniss, the main character in The Hunger Games. And funnily enough, she was asked to curate the album for Mockingjay Part 1, and she ended up doing a song, or two songs actually, on there, and she was 17 at the time. Like, how crazy is that?
No, it is insane. I mean, I think you can tell that she's inspired by this, and also this was 2013 was almost the peak of dystopian popularity in pop culture. And I think this album feels so reminiscent of that zeitgeist moment. And she did it perfectly. She was part of it. This album could be part of that kind of canon at the time. It has that feel, which I love. It's fun to listen to.
Yeah, I think the song before this one on the album is, I think it's Team. Let me double check, but I think it is. And that song also feels like it was very intentionally chosen to come before Glory and Gore. Yeah, it's Team. Because of the lyrics, it's talking about this romanticized and luxury world, fantasy almost world. And then in Glory and Gore, it's deconstructed a little bit. I think a lot of her early stage stuff was kind of a little bit darker and less realistic than melodrama and maybe what she's also going to put out now with her new stuff. So that'll be really cool to see.
Yes.
I don't know why, and I don't know if you have an answer for this, but for whatever reason on Twitter, people are obsessed with Ribs. Like, that is their go-to song off of this album, and they're like, oh, I'm having a breakdown to Ribs. What's good with you? And I don't really know why. It's that song.
I don't have an answer either. I mean, it's a good song. It's probably one of the songs I've listened to most on this album.
That's so interesting to me, because I don't know. I just wouldn't seek that one out. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe others can let us know.
Maybe.
Where the Lord stands.
Yeah, let us know why Ribs is the one to break you. But so I chose this one just because I think it's a little bit different and it's got a really cool beat throughout it.
Yeah, this one's cool. I like... Well, I guess let's listen to it, maybe.
There's a humming in the restless summer air, and we're slipping off the course that we prepared. But in all chaos there is calculation, dropping glasses just to hear them break. You've been drinking like the world was gonna end. Took a shiner from the fist of your best friend. It's clear that someone's gotta go. We mean it, but I promise we're not mean. And the cry goes out, their minds for us and how it plays out. Oh. And now we're in the ring and we're coming for blood. You could try and take us, but with the gladiators, everyone a rager, but secretly the savior. Glory and gore go hand in hand, that's why we're making headlines.
But the beat is so good in this song, and I love how she layers her voice, and she's really good at creating an atmosphere through her voice layering.
See, that's one of the reasons that I only a little bit but prefer this album, because I think this whole album is all the songs have a really unique beat and production to it, and it's kind of, it just overall is darker, I think, than the melodrama album. And I do think this song particularly, the bit I like about it a lot, and you hear it a little bit in the chorus, is the whole like, oh, I can't even impersonate it, the oh's, and then the at the beginning in the first verse, you've been drinking like the world is gonna end, and then the it did, and then the second line, took a shiner from the fist of your best friend, go figure. I don't know, if it gives it a bit of attitude and spunk.
It does. This song has attitude. I mean, this whole album does, but it's cool girl vibes is the way I feel like I have to say it. I don't know. It's kind of the era, too, of, I would say, when that indie vibe was really in. Girls who listened to Arctic Monkeys and had their tote bags and their combat boots. And their sort of jeans combat boots. And so that was so in. And I feel like this album is so part of that. of that kind of cool other girl. I don't know.
But wait, you're so right, actually. Mm-hmm. And that's maybe, that reminds me that the fact that I do see the whole ribs thing on Twitter and Tumblr, but it's the people who are tweeting those things are the people that would have been in that category that you just described.
Yeah.
So that's funny. Wow.
Yeah, it's so good. Right away when it starts with there's a humming in the restless summer air.
Yes!
You're like, here we go.
It's just, I think it's because, too, I obviously was really into The Hunger Games, the books, and the movies. So even from that first line, I'm thinking of those little buzzing things that were from the film, you know, in the book. In the arena, the bugs that would bite you, the tracker deckers, and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is so niche, my commentary. But
no, but this song, too, and I think probably because, like, what we said is, like, this was came out in a moment very specifically where there was a lot of dystopian literature and movies being made.
Yeah.
That this song and, like, a lot of this album feels like music that you do kind of project onto other things. Like, you can easily project this onto Hunger Games. You can easily project this, I mean, onto other things too, Divergent. So, I agree with
you. In her words, though, it's even in the first verse that starts off, but in all chaos there is calculation, and it's all packed a punch in that first one. It starts kind of literally packed a punch and kind of starts off really dramatically. And I think overall, I know we haven't talked about this yet, but what are your thoughts on what this song is going on about? Because I think there are some interesting theories out there.
Yes, I know that you had kind of made a note that this could be about fame in some ways and being a kind of public figure and the fight it takes and kind of to be on top and be notable. And I think that's kind of where my thoughts tend to lead on it a bit. I think either that or I think this could truly have been kind of like a story song that she was writing just about any kind of that literature or that those stories. But I think because of the line, glory and gore go hand in hand, I think that's kind of the main theme of the song, too. The idea that being on top isn't pretty. It takes a lot to be notable on top, and being famous in itself is hard. Whether you've had to step on people to get there or not, to stay relevant can be a battle. And I think also there's like kind of an internal battle with that. What you have to do to stay there, what I did to become here, and do you change yourself to remain relevant, or do you try to be authentic? And I like how it makes this kind of very literal metaphor for it of fighting and this battle and gladiators. Which that line is insane, that rhyme of you could try and take us, but we're the gladiator. The fact that she can actually rhyme the way she sings and takes us with gladiators is incredible. That's amazing.
So cool. And I don't think, I don't know, I just think that this is such a, and it still is such a, just oozing edginess and coolness, this whole entire song. But I think you hit the nail on the head. I think there's two main ways you can look at this, and one of them is the whole dystopia, she did that on purpose, which, yes, that could even be, you could see that too if you've thought about this other version, where it's some kind of commentary on the music world, like the world of fame, Hollywood, and the music scene. And I think it's really interesting because she would have been, I think, 16 at the time that this album dropped. So it could definitely make sense for someone so young to be in that world of fame and where everyone wants a piece of you, and maybe you don't know who's being a real friend and all of that. Because my old roommate in DC is from LA, and she was always telling me how fake people are there, and even friendship wise it's very surface level friendships. So I think the whole line, took a shiner from the fist of your best friend, go figure. I can't even sing it properly. How sad. I can't even
no,
try.
It's good.
Job. But she, I think that could be maybe, oh, she didn't expect them all to be so, it's all like a dog-eat-dog world, or you're fending for yourself.
Yeah.
And I don't know, this whole song could just be, it really is though, everyone for themselves. The people will want to paint you in a bad way just to, you know, be entertained or whatever. And that is the whole, I think, where it talks about.
That's why we're making headlines. Gloria and gore go hand in hand. That's why we're making headlines.
Yeah, in the chorus.
Yeah.
Just that line is, yeah.
Yeah, no, it totally ties into that. And I was just going to point out to the line in the first verse when we're talking about the fakeness. that you're referencing, because I think the line, "We mean it, but I promise we're not mean," is really interesting. Mm-hmm. Here I go saying interesting again. Because it just alludes to the fact that even if you aren't mean, you're still doing these actions to be in this place. Mm-hmm. So it's clear that someone's got to go. We mean it, but I promise we're not mean. At the end of the day, just because you think something or you want to be a certain way, it doesn't necessarily matter because your actions are going to speak louder than those internal thoughts no one else can know. So I think that kind of plays into that feeling of what are you losing to be on top, or who, you know, the fakeness, the duplicity of it.
No, I think you're completely right. And I think it's just throughout this song, because it's kind of just, I think this goes back to the beat, how it's kind of makes your blood pump, and it's just kind of, I don't know, just like the beat makes it feel very high intensity. And the whole, like, they lose their minds for us, that bit is a pre-chorus. Yeah. And that could just be how we are so obsessed with knowing and wanting to, again, have a piece of all of these celebrities when it's weird that we're that into someone else's life. And the whole, that's why we're making headlines. We want the bad and the good. We want to shame them for, you know, something they've done. But also we want to glorify them and uplift them, which is so weird that as a dichotomy, we're totally here for both of that situation.
Yeah, and how much we love to watch people fall almost. And so it's that we so put voyeuristic. These public figures and celebrities into a place where they have to fight to be
relevant almost.
Relevant, but also always on the cutting edge of what is in and what morally superior, and they can't have faults and they can't, and it's so, I mean, I can't imagine the pressure of that. But it is, I like seeing it described in such a physical way here, mm-hmm. of the fight and the gore, that's it, the glory.
Yeah, but it's my sister and I have been watching a fair amount of Love Island, and it just kind of reminds me of a little bit of how we consume reality TV. Like, we want these honest, quote-unquote, versions of people, but then if they're being too honest or if they're being boring, because some people are, like, daily life is boring, or normal people can be boring without drama, where we get annoyed and we're like, well, this isn't entertaining, I'm not entertained, bring on the drama. And so on shows like Batch and Bachelorette, Bachelor, and Love Island, and those kinds of shows, the producers intentionally cause something super dramatic that'll, you know, kind of maybe ruin someone or emotionally fuck them up. And then we're like, yes, this is so good this week. Love this episode. Because we like seeing people almost in pain or go through it.
Yeah. And it's so bizarre. I mean, people willingly go on to reality TV.
Yeah.
But that it's such a normal place thing that we expect people to kind of sacrifice themselves to be these drama-filled carriers.
Delicate in every way but one. God knows we like archaic kinds of fun. Chance is the only game I play with, baby. We let our battles choose us. And the cry goes out. Oh, oh, oh. They lose their minds for us and how it plays out. Coming for blood. Oh, oh, you could try and take us, oh, oh, but with the gladiators, oh, oh, everyone a rager, oh, oh, but secretly the saviors. Glory and gore go hand in hand. That's why we're making headlines. Oh, oh, you could try and take us, oh, oh, but victory's contagious. Good at keeping their eyes closed. The sun's starting to light up when we're walking home. Tired little laughs, gold light promises. We'll always win at this. I don't ever think about death. It's alright if you do, it's fine. We gladiate, but I guess we're really fighting ourselves. Roughing up our minds so we're ready when the kill time comes. Wide awake in bed, words in my brain. Secretly you love fish, do you even wanna go free? Let me in the ring, I'll show you what that big word means.
She's so good. good at this imagery she creates.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in that bridge there. Like, I don't know what she means when she's saying, roughing up our minds so we're ready when the kill time comes, but I love it because I can just picture this stressed out person in my head.
No, and it points to the psychological element that she's kind of covering up more with the physical aspect of it. We gladiate, but I guess we're really fighting ourselves. She uses words in just an interesting way.
So interesting. I've never heard anyone say we gladiate.
Yeah, and then you come to the part at the end. Secretly, you love this. Do you even want to go free? Let me in the ring. I'll show you what the big word means. Which I feel like is kind of the crux of the whole song. I mean, talking about that dark element of fame where you're obsessed with the victory. Like she said that victory is contagious. You're obsessed with being on top and the relevancy. It has to feel really good. As lonely and empty as it might also feel, it feels very good to be, to know you're kind of at the top. And so
it's, and everyone wants to know about you, you know? Like secretly that's kind of exciting, I think.
Yeah. And so it's like, do you even want to go free from that? And then let me in the ring. I'll show you what that big word means.
That feels so intense. Yeah. Like I'm about to go in myself in a fight or something.
I'm ready to brawl after that when she says that.
Yeah. I don't know how she probably even feels at the end of this, because granted she was so young when she wrote this and just kind of entering that. Though I think she was working with a studio as young as 14 or something.
Oh, wow.
But it's just clearly the world of fame, be it like Hollywood or music fame, music industry fame, that'll change anyone, especially the degree of famous she is.
Mm-hmm.
And just think about how she kind of disappeared off the face of the planet after Melodrama.
Yeah.
And so I think it's so interesting looking back at some of her earlier stuff, like this song where she talks about how everyone wants to kind of know about you, but you, do you even really want this kind of thing? And then it's to see her like disappear a little bit. It's so, I don't know.
Yeah, and I wonder if this is truly a reflection of how she feels. I mean, this is, again, us just theorizing about the meaning of this song. If this is what the song is really about and isn't just kind of a story song or something, I wonder if this is a true reflection of how she feels or if this is a dramatized version of how she feels, because it feels really dramatic and it feels really melodramatic. And I think she likes to play into that my view. So I would assume this is kind of an overdramatic version of perhaps her real feelings on fame and glory and the gore. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know her.
We wish we knew her.
We wish we did. If she wants to come on the podcast and explain to us, happy to have her.
We'd die. We would love to have Ella, which is Lord's real name, on the pod.
She's so gorgeous, too. Her hair.
She is. Ugh. The Solar Power cover is beautiful. It just radiates sunshine vibes.
I know. It'll be really interesting to see what this whole album is about, because you have this album, which is pretty dark. You have Melodrama, which is pretty freaking moody. I mean, she has some songs that are more energetic, but
yeah,
the Solar Power seems a lot more sunshiny compared to the darker vibes of her other two albums. So,
well, I also just feel like it's going to be a different era of her life. So that'll be
Especially because she's had such. I mean, when did Melodrama come out again?
2017.
That's a long time to be between albums, 2017 to 2021.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess 4 years, but
definitely as a person, you change over that time period.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we can't wait. As a pod, we can't wait for more of Solar Power to come out.
I'm excited. This was a good song. It's a good album.
I feel like it was also a different vibe than our huge, so we like that.
We do like that. I love that bit, too, which I didn't mention, in the bridge, I think, or where is it? Yeah, in the bridge, when it's, I don't ever think about death, and there's that low sound. Did you hear, like, the echo, but it's really low and growl, and it's, oh, I don't know, but I love it. That was cool.
Also, there is, I think, a cowbell almost sound in the second half of the song, and it just makes it feel almost like a gong. We're about to fight or something.
Yeah,
gong,
no,
you know, like
this song, maybe I need to listen to this song at the gym. I feel ready to brawl, for sure.
Exactly. Anywho, Annie, what do we have in store next
week? So next week, we are switching up a little bit format-wise. We're going to bring out another guest, Delaney Pepper, who is a friend of mine, will be coming on, and we are going to be talking about some songs of the summer. Popular, vibey summer songs that are going to be iconic 2021 summer songs. We kind of want to talk about that. We just want to have a fun summery episode, so that's what we're going to do. Thank you for your suggestions. We will be talking about them next week.
Yeah, grab a summer drink of choice.
Grab a White Claw, yeah, or like a Moscow Mule.
Yes.
Refreshing Bev.
A Marg, you know, whatever floats your boat, and have a listen to that episode.
And until then, all we got for ya. So, love ya and leave ya. Bye. It's why we're making headlines. You could try and take us.